Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere. Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 70. Welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. We'll get things started this week with the new iPad Air, which goes on sale this Friday. We'll also talk about the iPad Mini, which now features a Retina display, and then move on to the new Mavericks OS 10 operating system that's available now for free. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the LG 55-inch curved OLED smart TV and the new Jabra Sport Wireless Plus earphones. In the Tech Guide interview, we'll chat with Scott Hamilton, General Manager of the Gavera Ad-Driven Music Streaming Service. And we're going to wrap it all up with your tech questions in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking. Well, the Apple event last week revealed brand new iPads, and in particular, the iPad Air. Now, there weren't many surprises as to the look of the device, but I think one surprise was the name, the iPad Air. Well, it obviously gets that name because it's thinner, faster, lighter, narrower than the previous model, but at the same time has a faster processor, a motion processor, and it just looks a lot more like the iPad Mini, sort of adopts that similar style. It's actually the same thickness as the iPad Mini, 7.5 millimeters thick, which is quite impressive. But as expected, the design had... narrowed the frames on either side of the display. Still got the Retina display, 9.7-inch Retina display. But it's most impressive that they've pared this device down. I think that's where the iPad Air name comes from, obviously. They've pared this device down, so it's actually 20% thinner than the previous model, 24% less volume. It's also lighter. It's 28% lighter, as a matter of fact. It weighs in at just 469 grams. So it's lighter than the fourth gen model, which when you place them side by side, there is quite a difference. So the frame on each side of the screen is 43% narrower. So it is quite a change. So all of those cases and covers that are out in the market won't fit this new iPad. That's why all these other companies are scrambling to get their products in the market. Companies like Signet, STM, Belkin, Logitech, they're all racing to get their products into market. They've already announced them, by the way, and we've covered them on Tech Guide as well, all the different covers and keyboard covers and what have you, and they're going to be racing to get into market by November the 1st, which is when the iPad Air goes on sale. It's impressive looking device. I think it's obviously going to be a popular one. There's people who may have thought that the previous iPad was a little big, a little hard to hold in one hand. Well, this narrower and lighter device may appeal to those customers who thought that the previous iPad was just too big. Pricing for the new iPad Air starts at $598 for the 16 gig Wi-Fi, all the way up to $1,049 for the 128 gig Wi-Fi plus cellular. So as usual, there's your normal Wi-Fi models available, and also 4G plus Wi-Fi plus cellular, which is another word for 4G models as well. Now, and a lot of people forgot that there's now a 128 gig model that was introduced with the fourth generation, and that also now carries through to the iPad Air. iPad Air goes on sale this Friday, and keep your eye on techguide.com.au for a full review.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, Apple's event wasn't just all about the iPad Air. There was also another iPad introduced, and that's the second generation iPad Mini. Now, this time out, the iPad Mini has inherited a Retina display. Now, the iPad Mini was introduced almost a year ago to the day, and now has the new model, which was speculated that it would include this. A 7.9-inch Retina display. So outwardly, design looks exactly the same, same look and feel, same thickness, everything's the same. Actually, no, it isn't the same. It's 0.03 of a millimeter thicker, I found out a couple of days ago. So that's must need that extra 0.03 millimeters to include the Retina display. And that Retina display will have the same 2048 by 1536 resolution as the iPad Air's 9.7-inch display. So you can just imagine how sharp that display is going to look on the smaller 7.9-inch screen. And as I mentioned earlier, the iPad Mini thickness is just 7.5 millimeters. That is the same thickness as the iPad Air. The iPad Mini also inherits the faster A7 64-bit processor that will be introduced with the iPad Air as well. The Air and the iPad Mini will both still have that excellent battery life. Despite the iPad Air being a smaller, thinner, lighter device, battery life, Apple says, won't be compromised. In fact, it'll be maintained at about 10 hours of charge, which is probably one of the better features of the iPad, the fact that it just runs for so long. The iPad Mini, though, very popular product. It's the sort of product that I mentioned earlier. The iPad Air can be sometimes, that 9.7-inch screen is just too much for a lot of customers, and so therefore the iPad Mini fits that gap really nicely. It's been a very popular product, of course, supported by lots of cases and covers and keyboard cases, etc. So yeah, there'll be plenty of those available. But the iPad Mini, though, won't go on sale this Friday, November 1st. Apple are saying later in November, so that could be mid-November, late November, we don't know, but it's going to be later than November the 1st when the iPad Mini goes on sale, or the iPad Air goes on sale. The iPad Mini with Retina will be priced, start at $479, 16 gig Wi-Fi, all the way up to $949 for the 128 Wi-Fi and 4G as well. Yes, the iPad Mini does also have a 128 gig model as well. First time that Apple has done that. Last year, it only went up to 64 gig. iPad Mini, iPad Air, we're going to be very popular products. iPad Air goes on sale Friday, iPad Mini later in November. If you want to keep an eye on those proceedings and the news of the exact release date, be sure to keep your eye on techguide.com.au. Well, it was a very busy Apple event the last week. I think it took almost a full hour before Apple actually turned their attention to the iPads, which was what the products that we were all waiting to hear about. In the lead up, though, to that, they mentioned a new MacBook Pro Retina display, so with updated processors, added to 11AC inclusions. They also alluded to the Mac Pro, which is the top end computer that all these creative professionals have been hanging out for. It's going to be released in December. But Another item of discussion was Mac OS X Maverick. So that's the operating system for iMac and MacBook Pro. This is the desktop version of iOS 7, if you like. So this is the desktop software, OS X. Previous version was called Mountain Lion. This year, they've done away with the feline names. They've come up with OS X Mavericks, which is actually a famous Californian beach break. So a departure from those feline names. I quite like the name Mavericks. But the best news of all was when this was announced the other day at the event. Apple on stage, Craig Federighi, said that Mac OS X Mavericks is available today. And the best part of all, he said it was available as a free upgrade. And not just free for anyone who's just running Mountain Lion. It's free for anyone who's running a computer, an iMac that's as old as 6 years old. So this is an all-encompassing update for any Mac user to adopt. And I think a real shot across the bow to rivals over at Microsoft, who charge $199 and up for the Windows 8 operating system to upgrade from Windows 7. Microsoft is their bread and butter is software and selling software, whether it's to customers directly or to other PC manufacturers. But this is a shrewd move on Apple's part, I have to say, offering this operating system for free. That's going to really impress customers on the shop floor. You have to remember there's a lot of Apple customers who have come who are new to Mac. So a lot of those Mac sales that you hear month to month, most of those sales are to people who are new to Apple, new to the Mac platform. So this is a compelling new addition, a compelling extra reason why it's going to keep Mac people in the Mac ecosystem, but also attract more people, knowing that they don't have to pay for software upgrades. For their operating system upgrades, they're going to be free. Last year Apple charged $20.99 for Mountain Lion, which was very reasonable, quite cheap at that price, but you can't beat free, and that's exactly what Mac OS X Mavericks is. Now, Mavericks brings to the table a lot of new features. It introduces iBooks to your Mac, as well as Maps, so you can access all of that content, and then also share that through iCloud onto your other devices. For example, if you're reading an iBook on your iPad, it will remember where you're up to, and when you pick up that book on your iPhone or on your Mac, it'll remember exactly what page you were up to. Maps is also handy too. Apple have improved their mapping system since it was first introduced. That was quite embarrassing how bad that was originally, but they've really done a lot of hard work to improve that. Maps now on the Mac allows you to not only look up addresses on the computer itself, but it also enables you to send that information to your iPad or your iPhone, so when you're on the move, you still have to have the exact map that you were using, that you were referring to on your computer. Maps also show up in calendar appointments too. That's a nice little feature too. So if you've got an appointment with an address, it'll give you a little preview of the map. It'll also tell you how long it'll take you to get there from your current position. Nice little touch in the streamlined calendar application on Mavericks as well. There's a new version of Safari also. It's got a new feature called Shared Links. So there's one tab that lets you see all of the links that are being shared by your friends and followers on social media. So it's an easy way to look at that. iCloud Keychains, another way to safely store all your usernames, passwords, credit card numbers for your online shopping, Wi-Fi passwords, and all of those. So you can remember them in your iCloud Keychain so you don't have to remember them yourself. Notifications have also been improved. So when you get an email or other notification, slides in the top right-hand corner. But this time it allows you to respond to those notifications in the little window. So for example, if you get an email, you can actually respond, or a message, you can respond in the top right-hand corner. Rather than having to actually open up that application, you can send a quick reply in the very notification itself. Another new feature that I quite like is Finder Tabs. Now, with a Finder on a Mac is the window that you open to access documents and various parts of the computer like that. So you've got documents, applications, downloads, and usually you'd have to open up all these windows separately, especially if you wanted to see different windows at the same time or maybe copy one from to the other. Now you can actually set up tabs. So just like in Safari, you can make one tab for your downloads, one tab for applications, one tab for documents, and then move between them quite easily. Another new feature is tags. So if you are creating a document or working on a project, it's very easy for you to tag various documents that are required, say for the same project. You can tag them with a name or a color, and so then it's in the Finder. It's very, very easy to find all those documents and gather them in one place. That's Mac OS X Mavericks. We've written a small story about it at Tech Guide, but the best news is it is free to download and free to install.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guy podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand for home Wi-Fi. The WN3500 range extender can really make your internet increase the range in your household. If you want to stream music, say, from the backyard barbecue area or from the pool this summer, from up in the bedroom, from every corner of your house that where you're using maybe a tablet or a smartphone, well, now you can with the WN3500 RP range extender. You can enjoy improved Wi-Fi coverage on all your Wi-Fi devices, such as tablets and smartphones, throughout your entire home with Netgear's dual band Wi-Fi range extender. The WN3500 RP will boost dual band Wi-Fi to the backyard, upstairs bedroom, the bathroom, and wirelessly stream music to your connected audio systems with AirPlay or to the iPhone or iPad or on Android devices using the Netgear Genie app combined with DLNA. So if you want to get your Wi-Fi wherever you want in your home, check out the WN3500 RP range extender at netgear.com.au/Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
We're kicking off the Tech Guide reviews this week with a quite an impressive product. It's the LG 55-inch curved OLED smart TV. Now, this was unveiled at CES earlier this year, and I have to say it is a very, very impressive product, both in design and also performance. Let's start with design. Well, it's an eye-catching product. As soon as you lay eyes on this device, 55-inch screen with a very subtle curve worked through that screen. Now, the screen itself is an OLED screen. That's organic light-emitting diode. Now, what the beauty of that material is the fact that it produces its own backlight. It is self-illuminating pixels. So what you don't need is a backlight. And the result of that is that designers can create TVs that are super, super slim. I'm talking 4.3 millimeters thick. Yes, the OLED is super, super thin. Now, combine the curve, you combine the narrow screen, the very thin screen. It's sitting on a crystal clear base. And in that crystal clear base, it actually gives the impression that the OLED display is floating on air. But inside that base are see-through speakers. Quite impressive that you can see through them. So all the parts of the speaker are clear, yet creates an amazing sound. Now, once you turn the TV on, then you'll know why OLED is so impressive and so expensive at this point in time. It's very new technology, but OLED really, really, any picture you've seen on an LED, a normal LED TV, OLED blows it out of the water. OLED has the blackest of blacks, very accurate, very bright colors. It's even got a very fast response time, so 100 times faster than LED. So there's virtually no motion judder. You can watch action movies, you can watch sport, you can watch whatever you like on this product on OLED, and it will be a very impressive experience. Now, the LG screen is curved, as we said, so what it's designed to do is to enhance that immersive aspect so that the center of the screen is equidistant to the edges of the screen. On a flat TV, the edges are actually a further distance than the center of the screen if you are sitting in the middle in front of the television. But with a curved OLED, the curved screen, those edges curl around only ever so slightly, very subtly, but it does give you that little extra immersion in the content. And even if you don't, if you're not sitting in the middle right in front of the curved OLED, even if you're off to the side, the very fact that there is a curve makes the viewing angle even better, so you can see a lot more of the action quite clearly with the curved screen. I mentioned the screen is super thin. Check out the picture on Tech Guide. Is that's my thumb and index finger holding the screen, the 4.3 millimeter screen. It really has to be seen to be believed. The whole TV, though, comes in one piece. Normally, a TV comes with a tabletop stand that's then secured to the actual display and then positioned on your entertainment unit. In this case, the LG TV came all as one piece. It's all molded in one piece. It's like a work of art. But the OLED performance, it's not 4K, it's not ultra high definition, it's full high definition, but very, very clear. Now, watching Blu-ray was very impressive. Watching free-to-air was as good. It's not quite the quality of full HD, but full watching Blu-ray on the OLED was very impressive. 3D is also available, although it does use the passive glasses, so you're not going to be seeing full HD 3D. You're going to be seeing the resolution, a slightly lower resolution, actually a lot lower resolution than full HD, but you do get to wear the light passive glasses that you would wear in the cinema. Now, the curved OLED, the 55-inch TV, is $11,999. Now, that's an early adopter tax you're going to be paying there. This is a brand-new product, the first of its kind on the market. Samsung also have a TV similarly priced, but that for that price, you're getting all this brand-new technology. You're getting a great product, I have to say. Excellent viewing experience, a real conversation piece. Anyone who lays eyes on this TV are going to ask, what is that? And they're going to be very interested in your answer, because this is a real standout, a real stunner. The 55-inch TV, $11,999. You can read my full review at techguide.com.au. Jabra have released a new pair of Sport Wireless Plus Bluetooth earphones. Now, what's so good about these earphones? They don't have a cable. They're Bluetooth. The only cable that connects is the cable that connects the two earpieces together. So there's no link to your source to your smartphone. That is wireless. It connects via Bluetooth. So it pairs with Bluetooth and streams music without a cable. So it's very handy when you're exercising. You're not going to accidentally knock the cable when you're in the gym or get caught while you're running. It gives you that freedom. The earpieces themselves curve around your ear. Not the most comfortable fit for everybody, so there's not much adjustment that you can make to these earpieces. They fold over your ear a bit like a hearing aid. But once fitted, there are 7 ear tips, so you get plenty of ear tips to find the right fit. And once they're in place, they're not going to go anywhere. They're quite secure because they actually fit over the ear. One feature I liked about this is the fact they've got a built-in FM radio. So you can actually go off on your own or hit the gym and not have to have your smartphone with you, because there's an FM radio built into the earpiece. And it's all controlled with one button. So that's to navigate your music, volume, and all of that, all through the one button. Sound quality, look, I've heard better, but I've heard better through earphones and headphones that are twice and three times the price. So for what you're getting, $129, the sound quality is not too bad. It's also sweat proof and rain proof and waterproof, so no matter how hard you're training with this product, you're not going to ruin it with a super sweat. And if you happen to get it wet, you know, you can't go swimming with it, but if you do happen to get it wet in the rain or whatever, they're still going to perform as they usually do. The Jabra Sport Wireless Plus, $129, and you can read my full review at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview this week is with Scott Hamilton, who's the general manager of Guvera. Now, Guvera is a music service that is Australian-based music service, I should add, that has a slightly different business model to the other streaming services like Pandora and Spotify and Audio and all those other services. Guvera is actually an ad-driven service. So what that means is that you can sign into the service, and if you want to listen to your music and download playlists and have all of that available, all those songs available to you to listen to at any time, you're going to have to listen to and watch ads from time to time. You may have to sit through a 15-second ad or listen to a 20-second audio ad, or there might be visual ads on the app itself, but that is the price you pay for having free access to all of this music. There are models of subscription models. If you don't want to have to endure the ads, you can pay your $11.99 for unlimited access to the more than 15 million tracks in the Guvera music library. The Gavera app has actually just undergone a redesign. It's been re-engineered so that it offers the same look across the platform, so you can use the service on the web, on a smartphone, and on an iPad. And the redesign was designed to give all of that a similar look, but also designed to add other features so that it's not just a digital jukebox you're listening to, but it gives you access to various playlists and even music news feeds. It actually won an award, the redesign, at the recent Mobile Awards. We had a chat with Scott Hamilton, who gave us his thoughts on what's in store for Gavera's customers.
Scott, thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us today. We're here to talk Gavera, and this music streaming service, Australian-based music streaming service, has just gone through a redesign, a little bit of a reinvention, shall we say. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's interesting because the Australian marketplace has a lot of competitors within it, so it's difficult to stand apart if you're just a digital jukebox. And the challenge that a lot of businesses have is that their vision is driven by their global presence. So a lot of international players have come into the marketplace, and they're bringing the international business to a local market. Our direction has very much been about providing music to consumers, about following a three-tiered strategy, following entertaining users through content, educating users through news and PR and local release information about the Australian marketplace, and also rewarding our users. Mm-hmm. We feel that the three-tiered strategy will create a strong point of difference, but also create a relationship with our customers that rewards them for coming back and using the service.
Sure. Let's talk about the point of difference, though. Mm-hmm. The point of difference here being that it's an ad-funded service, mm-hmm. so people can actually enjoy the service for free, but they did watch the odd video, yep. or listen to an ad.
That's right.
And that's become sort of obviously your business model here. There is a paid service, mm-hmm. but tell us about the ad-funded service and how it works.
Okay, sure. Well, users want choice. So you can drive subscription, and we do. We certainly provide that option when the user jumps onto the platform on mobile or on web. And the users get prompted with a gateway, and that gateway says, do you want to subscribe or do you want ad-funded? So if a user wants to subscribe, jump on there, pay the $12 a month. If they want to use ad-funded, they click ad-funded and they can choose an advertiser. That advertiser will be the first ad impression that they see. Mm-hmm. And generally, it is a video, a 5 to 15-second video. Once they've seen that video, then they can start listening to and consuming content, listening to the streaming tracks. Mm-hmm. We also have audio advertisements that run in between the tracks. So effectively, every 20 minutes, we will serve one video and two audio ads, plus a mixture of display advertisements.
Mm-hmm. So we see subscription models, we see ad-funded models, and as you see here, the ad-funded model is working out well with you. You've got hundreds of thousands of users, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming the majority of those would be using the ad-funded model.
Very much so. Because our proposition is ad-funded and an ad model, we've really only gone to market with our advertising figures. We're not really talking about our subscription figures because our subscribers have decided that they just want the music, they mm-hmm. just want the news, they don't want ads. And okay. That's great. That's the whole thing about choice. Mm-hmm. The other part for us is about making sure that our users who are happy to see advertising, that they get the experience that they want and are able to consume that and see videos, see audio.
Sure. So this is a pretty crowded marketplace with streaming services. Mm-hmm. There are a few of them around. Mm-hmm. How does Gavera try to stand out from the crowd and attract or keep their current users and attract new ones?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's their reward-based side mm-hmm. of the business and also the education part.
Okay.
We've just done signed an exclusive deal with a business called Music Feeds. Music Feeds are one of Australia's leading music news and PR sites. So they syndicate news and content to us, which mm-hmm. we have on the homepage of our website, and we'll be moving onto the apps within the next probably 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we also have a reward-based system, and the reward-based system is based on high-value actions. Mm-hmm. So it's based on, you know, how often are you listening to the service? Are you building playlists? How much time have you spent with the business since you've been with us? At the moment, that service is providing downloads. Mm-hmm. So our top 10% of our users each month are receiving downloads. Yep. We'll be moving towards rewarding more of our okay. users. And at the end of the year, we'll be launching a full-scale customer.
So it's like a loyalty point system. So
correct.
It can be redeemed for products and services.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Now, just to divert slightly the discussion here, we see a lot of sites putting up paywalls when once they were a free service. You know, we've seen news sites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your thoughts on that. Like your model with the ad-funded seems to reflect how these news sites used to be. There were ads that you watched and read the service for mm-hmm. free. Tell us how your impressions of these paywalls and these other services that are now starting to do that.
I think it's a real challenge when similar content can be found elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to have a strong point of difference. You've got to be a product that is actually thinking about the customer. If you're just delivering a product that's the same that everybody else has got and there's no point of difference, then you're actually not going to stand apart and you're not going to have a loyal customer mm-hmm. base. Our view very much is about delivering the customers the opportunity of choosing between subscription mm-hmm. or choosing ad-funded. In regards to paywalls themselves, I think that's up to every individual business as to the strategy they want to undertake.
Sure.
From my experience, we're very much about providing the two options.
Okay. Well, let's get back to talking about music.
Cool.
And your service, obviously, when the big artists release new albums, you're sort of on par with everyone else to getting those new releases, aren't
yep.
you? So, and you've got a real focus on being an Australian business that all Australian artists are very well looked after too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're very much playlist driven as well. So mm. we have at the moment our Aussie Pride playlist, which is all about great Australian music. And on a weekly basis, we're building brand new playlists to roll into those, whether it be, you know, the one we did for Bathurst a couple of weeks ago, the one we did for the Fleet Review. It was quite a funny one, trying to build a Fleet Review one without the YMCA in it. In the Navy by Village People. Yeah, it's very much about making sure that the product is keeping up to date with what the users want and what
sure.
the users are interested in.
Tell us about the redesign too. I mentioned at the top of the interview that you've gone through a bit of a redesign.
We have.
That's been a long process, but a very rewarding one. You've been awarded something, so tell us about that.
Yeah, we have. At the start of the year, the team that we brought a brand new team in, brought a guy in from Virgin Media in London, brought a product manager in from Deputy.com. Both Rob and Damien, who've come into this team, have worked very closely with the leadership team to build a product that delivers on the expectation of the consumer. We've been a very product-focused business, and I think that the reward out of that has been that we focused on our ingestion process. We focused on the streaming side of the business, but also on the design process. We were very keen to ensure that the consumers had the same experience regardless of device, regardless of platform. So we very much went down a design-led proposition, and we were contacted in November by the Australian Mobile Awards, who told us that we'd been nominated for Best Music App, and then a couple of weeks ago found out we were a finalist and we're up against Spotify and Pandora. So
okay.
the big boys from overseas.
Yeah.
And on Thursday last week, we found out we'd been voted by the market and by the industry as the best music app in the country.
Wow. I'm looking at the award right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's over there on the mantle, very proudly displayed.
It's pretty
well
good,
done.
You know. And the other element to that was that was the product and design team had worked very
yeah.
hard on that. But at the end of the night, they handed out 5 gold Mobies, and
okay.
we won the gold Moby for best startup.
Wow.
So, you know, to have the whole business recognised, to have the product that we'd really focused on, the launch of the music, of the app,
yep.
Into the iPad marketplace for music, was great against those
awesome.
International competitors. But to then be recognised as best startup against everybody in the marketplace was a really good sign of all the great work that's taken place this year.
Fantastic. Now, let's cast our eyes forward. We know music is your bread and butter at the moment.
Yep.
Is there any other chance of other content becoming part of the service?
Look, our vision is to be the number one ad-funded multi-platform content provider. Content is a very important word, and if we look at the way in which people are consuming content online, we see there's many different products. There's music, of course, there's movies, there's books, there's a whole lot of stuff. So I think in the future there's definitely an opportunity for us to look at that. We're proving the ad model can work, and I think that there is certainly conversations to be had with providers and suppliers on our platform.
Fantastic. Well, once again, congratulations on your award.
Thanks.
And thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
One question I get asked quite often is from Australians who are travelling to the US and wanting to purchase tech products, in particular Apple products. I often get phone calls and emails and questions from readers who are saying, well, they've seen the iPhone quoted at $299. Why do I have to pay $799 for it here when I can buy it over there for $299? Well, the answer to that question is that $299 is the price you pay up front in the US for the iPhone 5S, for example, on a 2-year contract. So don't think you're going to be over there getting a $300 phone when they're charging us $900 for it here. Not the case at all. There are outright purchases available, and you'll see those prices are a lot closer to the Australian prices. And Just on that subject as well, a lot of people think, well, they want to buy iPads and other products like that, an iPad or an iPhone. They want to buy the outright product, and they look at the price. For example, the iPad in the US may be $60 US cheaper than the Australian price. What people have to remember, though, is the fact that the iPad pricing, the US pricing, does not include sales tax. So what you perceive to be a much cheaper price or a slightly cheaper price, that gap's going to narrow seriously when they've added the sales tax on top of that. Sales tax, depending on the state you're in, normally averages about to be about 8%. So if you're paying $350 for an iPad, you can expect about $30 in sales tax. Now compare that to the Australian price. Australian price includes GST. So the price disparity is not too bad. Although we found out recently the Mac Pro, that top end computer that's going to be released before the end of the year, is actually $1,000 more expensive here in Australia than it is in the US. How they've come up with $1,000 price gap there, I'll never know. But in terms of those smaller products like the iPad, the iPhone, and various other Apple products, you have to remember that while the price may be cheaper, appear cheaper, you've got to take sales tax in mind. And because our dollar is nearly at parity again, the prices aren't much different. So that if you're traveling to the US, keep those facts in mind. I don't want you getting ripped off over there. So you take note of that sales tax. Try to make the calculation in the store to see if it's worth your while. And that wraps up our show for another week. You can read about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. If you want to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you on email. info@techguide.com.au is the address. And you can send us your help desk questions as well to the Tech Guide Forum. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We're actually going to take a break next week. We're actually heading to the US. We're going to take a well-earned rest, so you'll hear back from us with the next edition of Tech Guide, the podcast, in a couple of weeks. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.